Hey guys, welcome back to Thickcast. I know it's been a while. I have just been so useless on here recently. And the same with YouTube. Like, I have been awful at social media, so I do apologise. I've been alright on Instagram actually. But all other forms I've been pretty shit on. So many apologies. I am going to try and block out time in my diary actually now, weekly, to try and get podcast back out to you lot, because I do think that it's a really good way for me to get a lot of like kind of content across, and I like to ramble, and I feel like my rambling posts, I run out of characters, so we've got to go on a podcast. But welcome back. If this is your first ever episode, welcome to Thickcast. I often have guests on here as well, but it is just me today. I don't actually know who my next guests are going to be. I'll be honest, like, I think this is why I've not recorded in a while. Although I've kind of got a lot to say at the moment, with myself, my clients, my prep, things like that. I just kind of, I'm like, I need to bring some new people on as guests. Maybe some returning faces. So if you're listening to this and you're like, I want to hear from this person again, or I would like to hear from this person, let me know and I can bring them on. But yeah, obviously there's certain people that like I just can't get on the podcast, or maybe I don't like, so I don't want to invite them on the podcast. But I feel like I've invited a lot of really cool people so far. And I'm kind of running out. There's been a lot of episodes and obviously a lot of guests on here. But yeah. Today is a solo episode, and it's one I've been meaning to record for ages. So obviously I'm on prep now, have been for a while, and I kind of haven't recorded since I've been on prep, and that's mainly just due to how busy I've been, which is good, really, really good, and actually has helped me a lot through prep. And I'm kind of go through with you later on in this podcast how this prep's been very different, how it's been a lot easier than previous preps I've done, things like that. But yeah, I've kind of wanted to record this for so long, and I just haven't had 5 minutes to sit down, well, longer than 5 minutes, and record. But I have today, so I am sitting down, I'm recording this podcast, and yeah, I'm just gonna go through a load of stuff with you. So kind of my plans for this year, I'm currently 3.5 weeks out, which is very fucking close. And I was like, I'm going to document my whole prep on YouTube, on podcast, da da da. And like, there's been bits that I have documented on YouTube, yeah, but like nowhere near as much as I wanted to. And to be honest, it's the editing. Like, I really struggle with editing on YouTube. Like, I'm just not good at it. So if anyone's listening and you are this fantastic YouTube editor, your videographer, whatever, and you want to be coached for me for free, like, I will literally coach someone for free if they just edit my YouTubes for me. I'll film it, I'll send it to you, you just edit it, because I don't even edit my podcast anymore. Like, the stress of it is too much. So yeah, if you want to do that for me, there's a job there. We can do a little exchange there. But yeah, I'm 3.5 weeks out from my first show. My first show is the Two Bros Regional. And on the 21st of September. So if you're listening to this, it might be a little bit closer. I might have already done it. Who knows? Who knows how late on you're listening to this podcast? But that is the first show I'm doing this year. And then the week after, I'm going to France to do the pro qualifier over in France. So it's kind of a funny one, that September show, because I'm like, I'm so chilled about it. Like, although it's my first show, I'm like, if I'm ready, I'm ready. If I'm not, I'm not. Like, as long as I'm ready for France, that's all I really care about. And I've kind of spoken to my coach and said to him, like, you know, if we're not quite ready, if we need to keep digging through that week and we don't peak for it, like, I'm more than happy to do that. Like, whatever we need to do, we need to do. Like, I just want to bring my best to France. So it's kind of my game plan. Those of you who haven't ever competed with like Two Bros or anything before, you essentially have to do a regional to go and do a pro qualifier, but you don't have to win the regional. So as long as I turn up and do the regional, even if I place last, in my open class, it has to be an open class. It can't just be like beginners or novice, which I wouldn't be able to do anyway. I can go to France and I can do the pro qualifier there. So that's why I can kind of be a little bit relaxed going into this one. I'm definitely telling myself that anyway. I'm just like, I'm so chill, which I think is good as well, because it gives me the opportunity to get back up on stage. Obviously, it's been 3 years. And also, I'm doing my own hair and makeup and stuff for it. So it gives me a chance to really, like, try all my look and try all those bits and just see kind of how it all goes together, if that makes sense. So yeah, just super chill going into that one. I am doing my own hair and makeup, like I just said, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend it for everyone, but it's saving a lot of money, which I need to do. So funny stories, really hilarious. Saved up loads of money. My van broke down, had to fix that. Saved up loads of money again for shows. Then my car broke down, and it's like the universe is telling me, like, almost like, don't bother this year. But I'm determined. So yeah, I'm doing my own hair and makeup. I was gonna do my own makeup for some of the shows anyway. I've always done my own hair. I wouldn't say like I'm a hair guru or anything, but I know my hair doesn't really hold a curl, so it's much easier for me to run some GHDs through and it looks nice and tidy. So that's a great way to kind of save money. And makeup wise as well, like if you're fairly good with makeup, like I've done stage makeup for clients before. There's a few really good podcasts out there with like Danielle Spencer and Ray Ray and people, where they talk a lot about stage makeup, and actually, like, you can do it yourself. It's not like you have to pay someone to do it. If you're competent, like, do it. Obviously, you're gonna need darker foundation than you think. But yeah, do it. So that's my plan there. Obviously, tan as well, which I've done loads of times for photo shoots, so I'm pretty competent in that one. So yeah, that's just some quick money saving tips there. Definitely base coat tan, I'll do yourself. Maybe not so much top coat, but definitely base coat I would. So yeah, just some tips there. So yeah, that's my first two shows. After that, I plan to go to Jersey and do the PCA show out there. So I'm actually really looking forward to that one. I think it's going to be a fairly small show, but it seems really, really friendly. The guy that runs it's messaged me. He's like been chatting to me about like places to stay and stuff. And like, it just seems like such a friendly vibe, and I just love that. So very much looking forward to Jersey and just being away, like just traveling a bit for shows this year, which I've always kind of traveled. I've never done really local shows, but shows are kind of like out of England. So that's exciting. And then as long as I qualify, which I really, really hope I do, I'll be doing PCA British finals, then potentially NFM Euros, and then potentially Worlds as well. But it's very much going to depend on if I qualify, how I'm looking, how I'm feeling, all of that kind of stuff, into whether actually I do those other shows or not. So yeah, it's just taking it show by show, and just rolling with it, to be honest, which is a nice feeling, and means I'm pretty chill for these shows. So that's kind of my plans. That will take me up until November. So I've essentially got 13 weeks still of dieting, prepping to go. And then yeah, reverse out for Christmas, which is a little bit daunting. My reverse last time, and I've spoken about this before, like my post show was horrendous, but I feel better equipped this time around. Like I haven't got any food focus or anything, and at 3.5 weeks out, like that's pretty good going, I'd say. However, like this is the most I'm going to be digging. However, am I still going to be saying that kind of between shows when you've been sat at that low body weight? Maybe I need to dig a little bit more, I don't know. We'll see, but it's just how I'm feeling at the moment. At the moment I feel really, really good, so those are the kind of the plans that are in place, and we'll see what happens. Definitely the first two shows will happen, and then I've literally not entered any shows. I'm just gonna enter them all kind of last minute. I've booked hotels and stuff, but I just want to give myself that opportunity that if I want to move or I'm not ready, like it's cool, like I don't have to, and it's just taking that pressure off a little bit as well. So yeah, that is my plans. In terms of like expectations and stuff, because I do want to talk about that, because I think we do put expectations on ourselves. I kind of do and kind of don't have any for myself. So for the Two Bros Regional, I'd like to get in that top three. And the France Pro Qualifier, literally zero expectations at all. I just want to fit in on that stage, you know, not stand out. The Pro Qualifier, to me, it's not about turning pro, because I am very, very realistic with my goals, and I know that I'm not quite there yet. I know that I need more muscle on my glutes. I know that I need more muscle on my delts. So I'm very aware that that isn't, you know, that that's not kind of a goal this year. However, will it be a goal in a year or two's time? Yeah, it will be, you know, it will be a goal at some point to turn pro. So why not put myself in that lineup and just see where I sit, see how far away I am. And that's quite, that's kind of like the aim for that one, just to see where I stand in the, you know, in the lineup with those girls, the best that's going to be there. So that's kind of the plan for that one. And then PCA jersey, I hope to do well at that one. And then the British finals. Again, I'd like to be in the mix for that one as well. So we'll see what happens. And of course, I think going into it this year, I have put more pressure on myself. And I will kind of talk about that a little bit more as the podcast goes on. But I have put more pressure on myself this time to do well. And whether that's a good or bad thing, I don't know. I think a little bit of pressure is good. Maybe there's some days I've put a bit too much on myself. But we'll see. I think today I'm pretty chill. So now I'm talking about I'm like really chill, but other days I've been less chill. So yeah, but also the team this year as well. So obviously competing myself, but also having clients compete and doing that whilst on prep actually has been fine. Like I was quite nervous about it. Obviously I've not done it before. Having 3 years off and like not starting, I competed last the beginning of 2021 and I'm now competing the end of 24. So I've not really been on prep and had clients on stage, or not deep in prep anyway, and had clients on stage. So yeah, it's been different. But actually, like, the worry that I had didn't need to be there. I've been able to be very present in myself. When I've had clients on stage, like, it's very much like they come first. And you know what, if I miss a few steps, I miss a few steps or whatever, you know, getting up before them to go and do my cardio, just bringing all my food with me so I'm kind of ready in that respect, and just working ways around it. And I've managed to do that quite well, jumping around on the spot basically to get my steps in. But it's worked, so it's all good. And my clients haven't suffered, which is the main thing there. And we can tell they've not suffered because they've done so well this year. I've had three of them on stage so far. And then another girl that we won't talk about, but we will talk about. I took over her peak week and she actually did really well. She came second. So we'll kind of talk, we'll just brush over that a little bit. Because obviously I've not really spoken much about it. But yeah, she did really, really well. So yeah, that was good. But then the other girls that I have had on stage this year, sorry, her coach won't listen to this, so it's fine, have all done really, really well. So all of them having kind of different goals. Two of them have competed before. So Steph competed before back in 2022. She took 2023 off to grow and then came back this year and won her show, won two of her shows. So that was really good, came second in the third. So she did NFM UK, the Southwest one, UK UP, and then NABBA, which she came second in. The other two, she won the open class. Yeah, the open class and the master's class in those ones. So yeah, really, really good for her. And with her, it was very much like she stepped on stage that first year, took home a second place, but we very much knew what we needed to work on. So just having that real time off, and I think as well as a natural athlete like Steph, like taking that time to really build up, and she's got mad quads, and like it was just building everything else to kind of grow into her quads as such. And we did that, and the feedback was all really, really positive. So really proud of her and kind of the improvements that made and kind of everything going on there. With Chloe, it was her first season, and it was a lot. I might actually get Chloe on the pod to come and talk through everything. But she's got a lot of kind of health issues that we kind of had to work around just to get to stage in the first place. Did the NFM show, got a top four in that one, in her first ever show, which was really good. She looked really, really good on stage as well. Like, I know she really struggles with her nerves, but just really coming into our own, especially towards the end of the season, which was so good to see. And Yeah, so she came off that stage at NFM, went for Nando's as you do, got food poisoning and had to have her appendix removed. So that pushed prep back quite a lot for her. But we got her recovered, got her back on stage again, and yeah, she did incredible, coming home with a third at UKUP and a fourth at BPA, and just the look improving, you know, as we went through as well, her confidence improving. And that was such a massive thing for Chloe, was just to feel confident up on stage. And yeah, that just the change in her as a person, and how much she's grown as a person has been absolutely incredible. And, you know, to not only prep through the health issues she's got, but also to prep through being a mum to four boys, and working as a taxi driver, which is like, it's actually a really hard job because she doesn't sleep at the weekends. So obviously that's going to have a detriment to her prep. So it's obviously working through that, working out when we can have naps, working training around it, all of those things. So yeah, just incredibly proud of her as well and kind of how she went on. And then we had Louise, who kept everything quiet. She prepped for a photo shoot and I just looked and I was like, mate, like you look 4 weeks out. If you want to go, let's do it. So I managed to convince her, because Chloe was competing anyway at the another UKUP show, the Welsh one, and the IBFA Exeter as well. So she did that one as well. And I was like, look, mate, it's 1 weekend of shows. Just jump in, just see how you get on. So she did. And I just, again, she competed in 2023 at the beginning of 2023, came over to me kind of post show, wasn't really, her reverse just wasn't quite going to plan, not in terms of like, I don't really think that there is ever a plan for reverse, but just for her, like she just needs that extra support, and that someone to guide her with her hormones and stuff. So she came over to me then and we built her physique and really looked at her. She trains fucking hard. And she, yeah, jumped on stage at the UKUP show and I was just looking at her all day and I was like, she's fucking good. Like she looks really good. My coach was there as well, Vaughan. It was lovely to see him and Ali. And yeah, it was a really nice day out actually. And he said to me, he was like, she's fucking on, mate. And I was like, yeah, I know. She looks really good. She looks really good. So yeah, she got on stage, did her thing. She was convinced she was toned figure. And I'd said to her, you're not, mate, you're trained. But she was convinced she was toned. So she entered toned and trained. And they just said, well, we'll put you in whichever one we think's best. And I was like, well, they'll put you in trained. But okay, if you feel like that's what you want to do, you do that. So she did. They moved her to trained, surprisingly. And she won that trained class. She won her pro card in it. And then obviously it's through to the overalls. And, you know, you kind of watch the rest of the shows, the classes that day. And there's some really, really good athletes. But kind of looking and I'm like, I think she's got this overall, you know. Like, I've not seen anyone, you know, the great athletes, don't get me wrong. But not quite as good as her. And Vaughan Ali was saying to me, you know, your girl's probably got it. And I was like, yeah. You know, she looks good, but it's never let over to the fat lady sings kind of thing, is it? Until they say, you don't know. And she'd got no idea. The makeup lady's touching up her makeup and everything. No clue. And yeah, she won the overall, which was fantastic. Absolutely incredible achievement for someone that wasn't even going to compete this year. Didn't think she was ready to compete this year. Awesome. Went over to IBFA the next day, won her class again. And then it comes second in the overall, but the panel was split. They were like, it was literally 50-50 down to the head judge, and the head judge gave it to the other girl. Very well deserved. For Tanya, she's incredible. I think she's won quite a few overalls this year already. Really, really good athlete. But yeah, it was just, again, that confirmation that she's in the right class, she's in the right sport, and she's doing fucking well. So with winning those two shows, that then takes her to Venice, all flights accommodation included for UKUP, and actually she got the sponsored ticket to Rome. So they sponsor one male and one female at the IBFA show to go to Rome and compete over there for IBFA, and she got that. So that was really, really lovely as well. So the Italian job is now on, as we've been calling it. So that's, yeah, wicked. So she's left to go there. She's gonna do a couple other little shows as well, and then I've got two more girls going the back end of this year. Naomi's going in, well, 11 days now. She's looking really, really good. She's been working with me for a long time. What's exciting with her as well, get a natural athlete. Been working together like 2 years now, there or thereabouts, just under, I think. And she will step on stage the same weight as what she came to me. So that's how much muscle we've built in that 2 years. And for a natural athlete, like, that's insane. And then I've got Holly jumping back on stage again, the back end of this year as well, with a lot of improvements. So we're very much looking forward to seeing both of them on stage, and obviously seeing Lou absolutely smash it in Italy as well. And then kind of the rest of my team are all looking into 2025, 2026, and just gets you so excited that year upon year, you can just see these kind of plans coming to fruition. And yeah, it's very exciting. So yeah, and I'm sure the girls go in the back end of this year as well. There's going to be more trophies coming home, and just, yeah, very, very excited to see them on stage. They're looking so good. And it just, it excites me, I think, kind of more than my own prep, which I think a lot of coaches, if you're a coach and you listen to this, like, you get it, which is cool. So I want to kind of talk to you about my prep this year, how it's been different, and how, if you're a first timer or whatever, like, you can kind of take this into your own preps. So I think as well, like, a lot of reflection, and I've done a lot more reflection this prep in kind of maybe a different way to how I did it last prep. But looking at kind of what's working, what's not working, and taking away, like, that little bit of kind of perfectionism I had last prep, is that, you know, everything had to be to the letter, and now it still is, but I'm not putting myself the pressure to do that. I just put myself the pressure to do each thing each day, and then it all gets done, instead of kind of stressing about it all day, which has been good. But some of the other things I've been doing is just little things like self-care. And I think last prep, like, I really didn't do that. Not as in a fact, like, I didn't wash. I did wash and things. But last prep, like, I didn't get my nails done last prep until show day. Or, well, until my show day nails. But I've actually continued that. I've actually not had my nails off since I competed last. But just getting my nails done still. Last prep, I stopped wearing makeup to work. And just went bare face, and, like, that wasn't necessarily a bad thing, and I think actually for my confidence in general, it's been really good, and for my skin it's been good. But actually, like, if I go out now, you know, go out for coffee or go and meet some friends or something, like, I'm making sure actually I still put my makeup on to make myself feel good. I'm getting my nails done, like I said. I'm still doing my hair now. Me doing my hair sometimes is literally just me putting a scrunchie in. But I'm still making myself feel good. I'm still in a really good skincare routine as well, which I wasn't really doing before. So just getting myself into that, and, like, those little girly things that you do, I think it actually really helped me. And a good hair care routine as well, actually. So obviously, like, washing and conditioning your hair, but also, like, once a week I put a hair mask in, or I put, like, hair oils in and sleep in that and wash it out the next morning. So all of those little things kind of make you feel good. And I think if you feel good in yourself, that then reflects into everything else that you're doing. So it's definitely something that's kind of working for me. Also kind of not taking time out of prep, because obviously I've been in prep, like, I've not missed a beat, to be honest. I've not missed cardio, I've not missed steps, I've not missed training. I've not been eating loads of food off plan or anything like that. But taking time doing things that aren't prep related. So me and my partner have been going to a lot of, like, immersive art galleries, kind of experiences like that. We went like crazy golf the other day. Like, I was actually on a refeed day, so we didn't have loads of steps to get in. But he was like, how many steps have you got left? And I was like, like 4,000. He was like, cool, like, we're going crazy golf. So we did that, and that got a lot of my steps in there, kind of not quite finished them off, but by the time I'd gone to bed, they were. So just doing things that aren't just in the gym, or we'll just go for a walk. Like, we've been spending a lot of time, like, we went into London, and if you go into London, like, you know, like, a day out in London, you're going to hit your steps. Like, I went to Birmingham, from London to Birmingham, on the train the other day. I'll talk to you why in a minute about it, but I was like, you know, you get that anxiety, like, oh my god, am I gonna hit my steps, and, like, da da da. I mean, we sat on a train for so many hours, like, I think my train there was like 3 hours there, 3 hours back or something, just because you have to keep switching trains. But actually, like, by the time I'd walked from the house to the train station, and then from one train to the next train, that train to the next train, to the studio, back from the studio, all of that, actually, like, I more than hit my steps that day. And I was like, oh, that's okay. And I did it with my rucksack on. So I dropped weight the next day, I'm telling you guys. That is the way to do it. So yeah, just going to London, going to like an immersive art thing. We went to Bristol actually as well. We went Wake the Tiger. That's incredible. If you love immersive art, that's really cool. Lego, what was it called? The Art of the Brick. That was really cool. We went to the Paradox Museum. That was pretty cool. What's the other one we went to? I think that was it for the minute I can think of. And yeah, just walked around London, like done some sightseeing, all of those things that actually just get your steps in, but you're not even thinking about it. You're thinking about like, we were looking for like brass elephants. It's like 20 brass elephants to find in London. And we were doing all that. And it actually, like, there's quite a lot of trails and stuff like that that you can do. And they'll be in like other cities as well. And like, that's just got our steps in without even thinking about it. Just get up, do your cardio, go to the thing. And yeah, it's been really good. The pressure that I've put on myself, I think, has helped in some ways, maybe hindered me in others. I've had one big wobble, I think, this prep, where I was like, I'm flying up to Scotland next weekend, like texting my coach, like, are you free next weekend? Like, where are you? He's like, I'm at home. I was like, cool, I'm going to fly to yours. Like, I'm going to book plane tickets. I'm flying to Scotland. I'm coming to see you. Like, I look shit. And I think it's because, well, I know it's because, my last stage weight was 54 kilograms. So in my head, I'm like, cool. Like, I know I've built some tissue, but I also am like aware as a woman, I didn't train for a year properly because of my illness. I'm not going to have built loads and loads. So in my head, I was like, I reckon about 55, you know, that's a kilogram up. So that's still some muscle tissue, a little bit leaner, you know. And my coach is like, nah, it's going to be like 57. Like, you know, you look really lean. And I was like, no, I'm not that lean. I'm not that lean. It needs to be lower. It needs to be lower. And, you know, I've got more to pull off. And yeah, I did have a bit of a freak out. And I wanted to share it with you because I want you to all realize that no matter how many times you do this, you're going to be like that. You're going to have times when you think like you're not ready. You're going to have times where you have like a wobble. And do you know what? When you look at things, I was on my cycle. Like, that's probably why. I'd had a high day. I think my first high day, my weight actually takes a while to come back down after my high day. So I had a high day on Sunday. It's now Wednesday. I'm still not quite as low as I was before we refed. So I do take a while to come down. And I think because it was the first time, I was just like, oh, that number on the scales must have been wrong. Like, I'm a lot bigger than what I am. Like, it just gets in your head. And you're always going to have that. And maybe the longer that you do it, it does, maybe you do chill out a bit. I don't know. But I wasn't chilling out right then. And I think as well, I did do well my last season. And going into this season, I feel like people are watching me as like, you know, I get messages like, oh, you're going to do really well, you're going to do really well, you know, you're going to win overall, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, cool, I really hope so. But like, the shows I did last time, like, you know, the standard was good in those shows, but the standard that I'm doing in these shows is even higher. So it's like, I know that. But also as a coach, you know, you want to set a good example for your athletes. You want to show that you can do it as well. And, you know, you're almost like this superhuman that can set this great example and win these shows and everything. And you're just putting a lot of pressure on yourself. And as a business point of view as well, obviously I want my business to do well. And I want to show that, you know, show the world that I can do it. So people will want to come and work with me as well. So yeah, it's a lot that you put on yourself. But sometimes you just need to step back and be like, actually, like, it's fine. It's okay. And I don't need to put that pressure on myself, you know? My athletes are doing well, so obviously I'm a good coach. And that's not going to define me. So, yeah, but I thought I'd share that with you anyway. The next thing I've done that's been kind of different this prep, and this is going to sound really weird, but I've told myself that the whole time that I can eat whatever I want. Like I said earlier, I've not actually gone off my plan at all, but I've told myself that I can eat whatever I want when I want. And when I've been offered food, you know, I've been to family barbecues, I've been to weddings, I've been to friends' barbecue party things, all on prep. I've done a lot of socialising this prep, trust me. And when people have said, oh, would you like wedding cake, or would you like this burger or whatever it is, I've said, no, I'm okay, thank you. And I've not said I'm not allowed it. And I've not allowed myself to say, I'm not allowed that food. That food's bad. I can't have that. Because I think that negative kind of, I can't have it. I can't have it. I can't have it. I'm not allowed it. Actually, this sounds really weird, but I think that that can kind of get in your head and kind of create that food focus. Because when you're not allowed something, then you want it. Whereas if I tell myself, like, yeah, I'm allowed that cake if I want that cake. No one's going to stop me. No one's going to fucking die. You know, I'm not going to die if I eat the cake. I'm not going to, you know, gain 50 kilograms if I eat that one slice of cake. You know, nothing bad is really going to happen. But do I actually want that? Or do I want to just stick to my plan and do well on my shows? And when I kind of strip it back like that, my answer is always, well, I don't really want it. Like, I want to win my shows, you know? And I think just changing that mindset around food has made my food focus like literally nothing. So yeah, my food focus now, like I said earlier, before has been really bad when I've been dieting and on prep. Whereas now, like, I walked into my dad's the other day, I had to work from his, and I walk in and my dad, he tells me he's on a diet, but let's just judge by this. I walk into the kitchen, there's a box on the side, there's loads of those like little mini brownies in there. I'm like, oh, he's snacking on them. Go in the fridge to put something in the fridge, and there's two bars of chocolate in there. There's chocolate digestive biscuits in there. We won't ask why there's chocolate digestive biscuits in the fridge, because I personally wouldn't ever keep biscuits in the fridge. They go in the biscuit tin, but there probably was biscuits in there as well if I'd looked, but obviously I didn't look. And whereas before I'd have been really tempted to eat it, I wasn't at all. I was like, oh, okay, like, he's got loads of chocolate in the house. Like, it didn't bother me. But actually noticing it, but not feeling that temptation, was a really good feeling. And I think that that's kind of where my kind of food focus has got to now, is in such a good place. No, I do put some of that down to hormones as well. But really work on my food focus in the off season. I don't have on my Instagram, I need to work out how to do it on TikTok as well. But on my Instagram, all the pages, like the Cookie Champions, which are the ones that I want to meet on TikTok, but I don't know how, Cakes of Daisy, the Cookie Box, I don't even know what else, but all of those, like, you know, food things, naughty treats, I've muted them all. And I don't engage with their accounts. Now, I still follow them because a lot of them are like friends of mine or whatever, and I want to support them. And if I was going to buy naughty treats, like, I've bought stuff from the Cookie Deal. Well, it used to be called the Cookie Deal. It's called Cookie Champions now, isn't it? I've bought stuff from them before, you know, for business things in goodie bags and stuff. And they're wicked. Like, you know, they're really good. And I want to support them. But also, I don't want to see it. And by doing that in off season, by not engaging with any food posts all through my off season, which has been 3 years long, I don't get anything come up on my Instagram, and I think that really helps. And also, like, only eating socially, like, not allowing myself to just sit in my car and eat shit, and really working on it through the off season has now made this prep easier. And like I said, and then just changing my mindset around it all, it's definitely really, really helped. So I definitely think that, like, with food is something that you need to do. And not put, like, I've been in social situations, but I'm not also purposely going to put myself through them and then torture myself and be like, oh my God, I can't have that. Oh my God, let me smell it. Like, I'm not going to do that, because A, you look like a psychopath, and B, like, it's not helpful to your mental health. And I think that's what we really need to look at. I've not brought any food. There's no food in my house that I can't eat. I mean, well, saying that, there's things like Squares bars in here at the moment because I've been having them on high days. But there's no, I've not been buying naughty treats and putting them in the freezer. With the exception, I'm saying, to actually, Olga and Simon got married, good friends of mine, both compete. They got married, and actually we did take a slice of wedding cake home and put that in the freezer. With the exception to that, nothing else has been brought. or whatever and put in the freezer, because I just don't want it there. I don't want that temptation. I don't want that focus. Because also, when you come post show and you are wanting to binge on everything, if there is food in the house that you can defrost by putting it out the freezer and into the fucking microwave, which is very fucking easy, you will just binge on it and then you will feel awful. So if it's not in there to be binged on, and I've told people, do not buy me food. I don't want any post-show treats at all. I don't want it in my house because actually I think it's going to be very unhealthy for me mentally. I don't have it and I really think that that's going to help me. So that's another thing to kind of think about. Whilst you're on prep, don't buy shit, because you know what? It comes to post-show, you'll go out for a nice meal, you'll have a dessert. If you then want to binge when you're back at home, you'll go to the shop and you'll have to go to a shop to buy something because there's nothing in your house. And those big post-show treats, like the amount of sugar and shit in them, you are going to feel awful after. I promise you, I've done it. You feel like shit. The other thing that I think's helped me there is hormones. So my last prep, I didn't really start off as optimally hormonally as I kind of thought I was. So my last prep, I was actually on the pill, the progesterone only one, hadn't had a cycle on it, and had been on it for 7 years, which is quite a long time. I was then getting issues with my pill. When I very first was on prep, so there wasn't any kind of hormonal issues there. But I was like, look, I'm gonna come off it because I don't really know what's going on with my body. I'm all of a sudden having these periods and was going to the doctors. Obviously they were no help at all because you're a woman and it's women's health issues, so why would they know how to help you? I then came off it and I just didn't have a period, so I think my hormones were pretty tanked then. Coming off the pill, obviously I've been on my pill for 7 years. I've been putting progesterone in my body for 7 years. At some points I'd had estrogen and progesterone tablets as well, so I'd have the combined. So my body probably wasn't producing its own hormones properly. And they say it takes about 3 months when you come off the pill to kind of get your cycle back. Well, my cycle never came back because I was then on prep. So I tanked my hormones right from the get-go, without kind of thinking about it or realising it. And I definitely wasn't as educated in it then as what I am now. And I would never, ever recommend that for a client now. Either keep on your contraception or don't be on contraception, ideally. I'm not a big fan of contraception, hormonal contraception, but that's a whole different topic for another day. For most people, for some people, it works really well. But for most people, I'm not a fan. So my hormones were tanked. So obviously then my food focus and things was going to be worse. But since coming off it then, in late 2020, I believe I came off it, I've not gone back on any hormonal contraception at all. And then I know now that my cycle is so regular. Like, I can tell you the day that I'm ovulating. I can tell you the day I'm going to come on. I can tell you everything because I just know my body so well. And it's just, honestly, like, it's actually really nice. I really like it. And I know that my body's healthy. And I think that going into it like that, I'm in such a healthier spot hormonally. And I definitely think that that's helped with my food focus and stuff as well, because my hormones are in a good spot. My last cycle, I think now I'm on about day 20-ish, 18 to 20-ish. So my last cycle did come. Whether it comes this time, I don't know. But, you know, because I am very lean now, I am very close to show. I am digging really hard. But to keep it for that long as well, like, I was pretty happy with. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But that's kind of how I'm feeling with all of that. And kind of some food for thought kind of with contraception and hormones and all of that stuff as well. I know this is really rambly, so I do apologise. But hopefully I'm getting a lot of good points out to you. The next thing I want to kind of talk about is keeping busy. And like, you've probably heard this before, but seriously, like, keep yourself busy on prep. My last prep, well, my 2022 prep that I end up having to pull out of, I was fairly busy then, and it was a pretty good prep until I fell ill. But my prep in 2021, wasn't it? It was so much harder because of work. You know, I was in lockdown for a lot of it, where as much as I did do a little bit of work through lockdown, the second lockdown I did, the third lockdown I was just doing bodybuilding. And it's kind of quite boring. You know, I was going for a walk in the morning, I was going for a walk in the evening. I was doing my cardio in my mate's garage. I was doing my training in my mate's garage. And, you know, I had my friend who did my cardio with me. And, you know, some friends would come for a walk with me or family would. But it's hard to fill your time, right? Especially, like, we remember those days. And then when I went back to work, like, my work, for some unbeknown reason to anyone, with any common sense, my work opened their doors really, really late. So we lost most of our members in the gym I worked at, because everyone had gone elsewhere. Because when I'm saying really, really late, I think we opened like 3 months after everyone else, which I know, it's, who knows? But everyone had gone elsewhere. So the gym I worked in was dead. Like, literally, I would be in there and there would be no one in the gym. So that's a very boring job when all you've got to do is clean. So I'd walk round and round and round in circles, but you're very, very bored. And then all you've got to do is think about food. And that's probably the other reason why my food focus got so high, because I didn't have anything to occupy my mind. Whereas this prep's been very different. You know, it's 4 o'clock now and I've had two meals and I'm not even really thinking about food. You know, I fasted this prep as well, which has been better, because I'm not working shift work. I work on my own pattern. I can fast till about 10 o'clock and then I normally have my first meal about 10, half past 10. You know, there's been some days where there's kind of been exceptions to that rule. I've had to train early for whatever reason, but 9 times out of 10, I'm eating quite late on and then I'm just keeping really, really busy. I'm busy with work. If I've got gaps in my work, tomorrow I've not got any clients in the evening, so I've scheduled to see a friend, you know, and go for a walk with her. And by filling up my time, it's so much easier. So when we say, like, keep busy, like, honestly, keep busy, get a hobby, do some art. We did some artwork the other day, actually. Honestly, artwork will be amazing for you. So if you are hungry, draw. Because your hands are busy, your mind is busy. And if you start drawing or painting, you don't even have to be any good. Just anything like that, creative-wise, and your mind will just take off in that direction. And, like, I do think that that's another thing that will really, really help a lot of people. But we also didn't talk about it. So I'm talking about it now. Draw some pictures, whatever it is. Just draw, paint, colour by number, whatever it is. And you will honestly find that just helps occupy you for time, because watching Netflix and stuff, it's not keeping your hands busy, it's not keeping your mind busy, whereas doing a little bit of artwork will. So I think that one's been a really good one as well for me. And a stand-up desk. I don't have a stand-up desk, I made one. I've ratchet strapped a plank of wood to a treadmill and used coasters so it doesn't touch the buttons. And I now have a walking desk and it's been the best thing about prep. And my boyfriend brought me one for his house because I was in a panic. I was like, I can't bring my treadmill with me. I've got to be at yours for 3 weeks. He says, it's cool, I've sorted it. So he sorted it, bless him. He's a good egg. He brought that for 50 quid on eBay. So if you're just drove around in the van to go get it. So if you're like, oh my God, I can't afford like 250 quid for a walking pad and then for a stand-up desk, you don't need to. Look on eBay, be inventive. So that's kind of my prep. That's kind of things I've done differently. That's what's helped. Other things I've done differently. My food's been lower, my cardio's been higher, my steps been higher. That's all fun shit. And I've done it a shorter time frame, which actually I've really, really enjoyed. And I'll probably do it again like this. More intense, and I probably wouldn't recommend it for a first prep, but I've enjoyed it, so take from that what you will. The next thing I want to talk about is why I went up to Birmingham. So this is so exciting. I have been on the Compaq's first posing shoe school, and I am telling you now, like, that is a game changer. Now I've been fairly clued up on the Compaq shoes for a long time. Obviously, I've been working with Compaq since 2021. You learn a lot along the way. And so I started doing the posing shoe school. Learned even more about the different shoes and how it affects the posing and the posing cues. And I've had girls come to me before and they've had other posing coaches. They're like, oh, my posing coach has recommended this shoe. And I've kind of gone, Oh, I wouldn't recommend that show. Now, when I went up to Birmingham, I had the opportunity to try on every single style shoe. Luckily, I'm in prep, so my man feet could fit into most of them. I'm a very wide foot girl. Now, trying on the different shoes confirmed to me what I was thinking previous. You know, when people have been in a non-platform heel and they're like, oh, well, my coach said this would be easier. And I'm like, I really don't think it is. Like, I don't think you can grind through. I don't think they're very stable. I'm telling you now, unless you are doing UKBFF or another federation, which I've not heard of, that requires you to wear a non-platform shoe, don't fucking do it. Don't do it. You think it's easier, I'm telling you right now, A, it's harder, like a lot harder to just walk in, and I walk in heels all the time. So much harder to walk in. So much harder to stabilize through, so much harder to pose in, and also so much more dangerous on my ankles. Like, I genuinely thought most of the time my ankles were gonna snap. But yeah, just don't do it, guys. Don't. Speak to someone that really knows what they're doing. Speak to someone that's qualified in that posing shoe school, and one of us girls, and get the right shoes, honestly, because when I'm telling you, it makes such a difference to your posing. I mean it. Like, the cues of how you would hit a pose are completely different in like a cocktail than what they would be in a Majesty or an Elegant or an Olympian. Like, your posing cues to hit them are so different. So you just need to know about shoes. And I just think that Jazz and Lucy and the team that created this posing shoe school, they've done such a good job, because there is such a gap in the industry of, there's a lot of posing coaches out there, right? There's loads. And I've had it before when people have come to me and they're like, oh, I want you to teach me posing. And I said, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. You know, I teach online, I teach in person. This is where I teach in person too. And they're like, oh, well, you know, I don't really want to travel because there's someone up the road that does it. And actually, you know, they're cheaper and da da da. I'm like, okay, it's cool. You go to them. And you see them on stage and their posing looks awful. And it's because everyone that's been on stage is now a posing coach. But the good posing coaches are very, very few and far between. And for Jazz and Lucy to come up with this course really shows you the ones that are actually invested in the posing game and aren't just doing it to make a quick bit of money, you know, and actually want to get the best from their clients. And there's a few of us on that, and, you know, all those girls are wicked posing coaches. And knowing the difference between the shoes, like, I honestly can't explain how much it affects your posing. Like, it really does. So really think about that when you're picking your federations, when you're picking your shoes. I was speaking to a girl the other day down the gym, and she does figure and bikini, and I was like, you may need different shoes for figure than you do bikini, because how you move in figure is different to how you move in bikini, how you hit poses. So for bikini, for example, I'm a cocktail girl through and through. I've played around with the Shoe Fairy Goddess. I've played around the Majesty. But now my feet are prep feet, cocktail. Like, I just think that I move better in them. However, when I go to do figure posing, I cannot stand a cocktail shoe. Cannot stand it. Can't pose in it. Hate it. Bikini, love it. Favourite shoe. Figure, absolutely not. Figure, Shoe Fairy Goddess, 100%. Can I pose well in a Shoe Fairy Goddess for a bikini if I was just going to get one shoe and do the both? Yeah, absolutely. But do I think that I look like I can move better in a cocktail? Yeah. So it's just a little bit to think about there. You might be different though. You might be completely different. So yeah, that's kind of what I learned with that course. Well, I learned loads, but that's some of the little things there that I picked up there in Birmingham. Passed the course. Nearly got 100%, but I misread one question. It said select at least two, and I selected two. Otherwise, I got 100%. So, yeah, annoyed with myself on that one. But also with posing, like, I just want to say, like, keep it simple. Like, especially if you're a first timer, like, the judges aren't looking for these big, sassy hair flicks and flamboyant walks and flicking your arms about. And I've just been seeing it a lot recently. People flicking their hair, flicking their arms about. and whatever else, but their actual posing is crap. You know, they're not hitting the poses well. So if it's your first time on stage, your first season or whatever, just hit the poses well, transition smoothly between them. That's what you're being judged on. You know, when you're flicking around and stuff, like, yeah, the pros flick their hair about and do little shoulder pops and all of that, but they're pros. Like, the difference between their physiques is so minimal that they're being judged on every single little tiny thing down to their bikini. As an amateur, you're not being judged on all of that. You know, well, you are, but you're not, you know, the physique is being judged more. And if you're not showcasing your physique in those poses because you're too busy flicking your hair about and shaking your ass, actually, you're really doing yourself a disservice. So I just wanted to talk about that a little bit as well, because it's something I just noticed recently and I thought I'd bring it up. But yeah, looking into 2025 then, for myself, I will be going into off season. And competing again potentially in 2026. Realistically though, when enough improvements have been made. But the kind of aim is 2026, but yeah, 2025 off. But now is when I am taking on the most clients that are competing in 2025. The reason for this is because you want a good few months with your coach in a growing phase before entering a prep. A, so we can get to know how each other work, get out any teething issues. B, because we want to grow a little bit, you know, balance out the physique, any areas that we think may need to be brought up. And C, just get ourselves, like, get, you know, me to know your body well enough so that when we go into prep, we know that we're A, giving it enough time in prep, not having to go too aggressively, things like that. And we're going into prep and knowing how each other work really well, knowing how I can look after you mentally as well as physically. And yeah, just going in the best position possible to obviously then bring out the best results possible. So if you are thinking of going into 2025 and competing, drop me a message. So you can get me on Instagram at mollyjane_bikini. And you can drop me a DM or you can fill out the link in my bio as well. Either or is fine. Or you can drop me an email at mollyjanecoaching@gmail.com as well. So whatever works best for you. But yeah, if you're looking to compete in 2025, like, now honestly is the time to join. I'm not just saying that, like, I mean it. Like, if you want to join, if you want to compete next year, you really, really, really need to be joining a coach now. Or, you know, you might be working with a coach at the moment, but you want to be working with a more prep-specific coach. Then obviously come on board now. Or if you're looking to compete in 2026, my team is growing for 2026 as well. For girls that need a little bit more time, you know, I've got a figure gal who wants to compete with, like, UKDFBA or WNBF as a natural figure competitor. So we need that time to really get more and more muscle onto her. You know, for her to be really competitive in that class, in those federations. So yeah, just looking across into all of that. And yeah, it's exciting to think that we're already talking about 2025. You know, calendars are starting to be released. PCA have announced the first timer show they've got going in 2025, and, you know, their Scotland Pro qualifier, things like that. So it's very, very exciting, and I think it's going to be a big year. So if you want to be a part of that, then please drop me a message. I am currently taking clients on. There is going to be a time, I think, where I will probably stop taking clients on, dependent on workload, with peak weeks and traveling and everything, because September, I'm at client shows or at my own shows every single weekend, literally until I finish competing, through September and October. So there may be a time where I'm like, actually, like, I can't take anyone on at the moment, and then I'll add you to a waiting list. But at the moment, as it stands, as this podcast go live, there is no waiting list. You can jump on board and sign up with me. But there may be a point where I need to kind of close things down a little bit. Not close things down, but, you know, just not take on for a minute or two. Just because I want to be able to give my clients I've already got the attention that they deserve as well. So, yeah, if you want to jump on board, now's the time. It might be that I don't need to do that, but I may need to. So be warned. This is your warning. And, yeah. Thank you so much for listening. Please like, share, comment, subscribe, share it on your stories, all that fun stuff. Drop me a follow on Instagram. And yeah, I look forward to hearing you look forward to speaking to you in the next episode. And if there's anything at all you want me to speak about, then let me know and I will cover it. Thank you. Bye.